Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Discover Your Spirit on Lilydale Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Brenda Reading. And today, I'm very excited to bring to you our very own Stacy Sherman. She is a spiritualist and owner of Sacred Grounds Coffee House in Lilydale. Welcome, Stacy.
Thank you. Thanks, Brenda, for having me.
Oh, just a little backstory. You had about 35 seconds to share with us with your busy schedule a few weeks ago. And we had the pleasure of a few friends and myself of learning a little bit more about you, Stacy. I feel like our listeners and the Lilydale people need to know just who you are, because there's so much more to you. Not that it isn't enough all by itself as the owner of Sacred Grounds Coffee House. Okay. Mm-hmm. Actually, you have quite a prequel, I want to call it. So you had mentioned in our little talk that you are a spiritual missionary or spiritualist.
I was a spiritualist missionary for a spiritualist organization called the NSAC, like seven. It's actually really, it all started in Lilydale.
Oh, right? Great.
It all started in Lilydale. You know, I don't believe in, I don't know. I don't know how you feel, Brenda, but like, I don't think some things are random. Do you know, I think there's.
Oh, no, I think there are synchronicities, but I think there's usually a plan.
Yeah, exactly. And mm-hmm. So you can almost start like when I was a little kid to this, you know, to my parents buying a haunted restaurant and, you know, being in that, you know, paranormal world or whatever they call you. To me, it was normal, but anyways. Right. And then somebody bringing up Lilydale and saying, hey, do you know that there's this place that, you know, I hate when they always say they talk to the dead, because I feel like, you know, they're more living than we are. You know that as a medium, mm-hmm. right? Like,
yes.
But that brought me to Lilydale. And that was how I found spiritualism. So I think when I, you know, for me anyways, and I understand that, you know, sometimes we use labels as a way to define ourselves. I really am proud to define myself as a spiritualist, because when I found the history of the movement of spiritualism, the basic principles of what spiritualism is, I felt like I found my label that I like. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Not a label that was given to me by someone else or, you know, but a label that I was able to claim as my own, you know? And so in, again, nothing random. So I'm from Wisconsin, right? I drive all the way to Lilydale.
Where's your cheese hat?
Don't have
bad
one.
Joke. Bad joke. Go ahead.
They make crowns. Maybe I should get a cheese
hat. Oh, cool. Yes. Yes.
Oh yeah. They have all kinds of stuff. So I drive all the way 9.5 hours to go to Lilydale to find a movement, drive all the way back to Wisconsin, and literally 45 minutes from where I live, I find a spiritualist church and I find the Morris Pratt Institute, which were, you know, Morris Pratt Institute is, we'll get into that probably, it's an mm-hmm. educational right. college that was formed long ago. And the first spiritualist church of West Allis was a chartered church under the NSAC. Mm-hmm. And so I found...
So for our listeners who haven't heard much about Lilydale before, spiritualism, NSAC, explain that.
Yeah. So the NSAC is the National Spiritualist Association of Churches. And, you know, spiritualism started out as a movement. I'll try to make this a quick history mm-hmm. thing.
No, it's good. Go.
Of a movement of a lot of what I would call radical at the time period, radical people who believed in equality, who believed in religious freedom. I mean, just all this different stuff, right? And they wanted to kind of reinvent the way that we looked at religion, right? Mm-hmm. Hence why we say we're a bunch of free thinkers, right? Like right. It's just this new thought, you know, not a new thought, that was Ernest Holmes, but anyways, this free thinking. And so obviously what ended up having to happen was mediumship has been in some states declared illegal, fortune telling, you know, all this stuff. So a group of spiritualists got together and said, well, if we form an organization that we can turn into a religion, for religious protective reasons, mediums can then work and prove the continuity legally, right? Under the US Constitution, if you would, the law, the rules.
Right.
And so the NSAC was one of the very first spiritualist organizations to kind of organize. It's the oldest, longest running, but there's numerous organizations now for spiritualism. Mm-hmm. But the NSAC was the one that I originally first found and mm-hmm. became a member of, and then was blessed trying to get all the way full circle back to the start of our conversation. I was blessed to become the director of the missionary department for that organization for a couple years, which sent me down the rabbit hole of spiritualist history. And I went on a tour of almost every NSAC church and some of the camps and some of the independent churches and camps, because there's all different organizations. So not every church is NSAC, not every camp is NSAC. There's the National Spiritualist Alliance. There's all different things, but that sent me on the journey of out to all of these camps and churches to meet spiritualists, US spiritualists worldwide. So that was
about how many spiritualist camps are there in the United States? Do you even know?
I think now we're probably around 10 to 12. Now, in the history of spiritualism, almost every state, even some of the Bible Belt states, they were secret, but there were definitely a lot of camps and churches like Wisconsin. I mean, I'm very familiar with Wisconsin history since obviously that's where I'm from, right? I mean, Wisconsin was kind of a hot box because we had the Morris Pratt Institute, we had Wanawak Spiritualist Camp, which is still in existence, and we had up to 22 churches in the state at one time.
Wow, that's a large number for, because I would imagine that if we took spiritualism compared to the percentage of other religions in the world,
right,
we're probably like a little speck, and it's amazing because so many of the world's religious doctrines or their adhere to, a lot of the basic principles are enfolded into the spiritualist religion,
Yes.
And that's why it's like if people are curious, right, or wanting a free thinking religion that allows you to adapt to who you are as you're changing and growing, and spiritualism is a good place to I say tap your toe in, take a look
Absolutely.
At it.
Absolutely.
Because it's very accommodating to everyone.
Well, see, and what I this is my own belief. I'm just going to say that out loud. So I'm not quoting any, organization's belief system or anything like that. But in my understanding of the spiritualist movement and reading about the history, and, you have to realize that when we formed as a movement, we didn't have ministers. We had ministers of other faiths mm-hmm. that adopted the principle and the truth of communication with the spirit world, whatever that looked like. For some people they call it heaven, some people they call it the other side. And spiritualism, I personally believe, wasn't necessarily meant to be a standalone religion. It was meant to actually, most religion, especially the doctorate, says there's an afterlife,
right?
It says that there is a next phase after the phase called death. Spiritualism proves it through mediumship.
Right.
And
right.
So I think the spiritualist movement was supposed to enhance all religions. Again, that's why you hear all the time in the spiritualist movement that we're not a religion of conversion, but conviction. So we were meant to just prove it. And so in my own opinion, I feel like you can practice whatever religious thing that moves you, but spiritualism is that in the mediumship, either through mm-hmm. healing or through the proof of continuity, is what accentuates that truth.
Right. And it sure is amazing how science, right? It's always been about science, the mm-hmm. energy of things. And I'm always like in my teaching, I'm always talking about the, you know, the energy. It's not woo-woo, it's energy. It's, you know, we're all moving. It's the whole thing. And it, and what's wonderful is science is getting closer to meeting where we already are, you know,
Yeah.
and that's encouraging, you know, it's.
Well, and what's also cool, if you think about it, and maybe you've never thought about it, but usually when you see a definition of spiritualism, it's the science, philosophy, and religion. Notice how religion's on the end. It's not the first thing. So we end up moving more towards the science and the philosophy. We added the religion, in my opinion, as a protection.
Yeah, I can understand that. I can understand that. And it's just so you being a spiritual missionary, spiritualist, I want to get that right, missionary. I just feel that so amazing. I've never heard of a person, you know, a spiritualist missionary before. So you got to experience all these different churches and the people and was there just a couple things that you would like to share about that? Was there anything, you know, really dynamic or fascinating about that journey of yours?
So I have to say, I loved this. I know this is going to sound so bizarre, the similarities, but yet the differences or the energetic differences of each place. Do you know, like the similarities are this. There's a, you know, churches throughout the US. I guess that was surprising to find out how many churches there really were, because I, you know, when I came involved with this, I, like I said, I drove 9.5 hours to find it, right? Not realizing that some of it was right in my backyard.
Isn't
So
that something?
I, yeah. So I think that that was, you know, to me, that was like kind of shocking. Like, oh my God, there's a camp here. There's a camp here. Oh my God, there's a church here. There's four churches in a tiny state of Connecticut. You know, like it's amazing how many, you know, like, wow. So that was kind of really cool to realize that we weren't alone. Isn't that ironic that we talk about spiritualism? We're never alone because we can call
Right.
spirit. But a lot of times when we first come into this understanding, we feel isolated.
Absolutely.
We feel alone. And so then to realize, oh my God, there are all these people out there that believe what.
And have had similar experiences. I write about that in my book. It's like when we start waking up and we start having the spiritual, we become aware of the spiritual side of life, right? And every you feel very alone because everyone else isn't talking about it, you know.
Yes. Yes.
So yeah, so how wonderful to find like-minded people. Right,
Yes.
that you
So
can talk
definitely,
with.
if you're feeling alone, don't worry, they're out there. Like that was
Yeah.
the, so that was like the comfort of that. And then there was the, you know, the differences was more of like energetic differences, you know, like how people see spiritualism. I mean, we all see it so differently. And it's interesting because you think we all belong to the same organization or we all belong to the same group or the same church. You would think we all think the same.
No.
Right? There's just differences. And so that was interesting to me too. Do you know, like that was
Yeah.
really cool. And then just the plethora of history. I don't think people really realize. I mean, I'm not talking ancient history, like, because of course, mediumship is nothing new. We didn't
No.
invent it. You know, like the spiritualists didn't invent it. It's
Right.
always been there. But the history of the movement, and it was so much more than just communicating with the afterlife. It was what we do with that information that we receive, how we act, how we support the collective consciousness, yet at the same time be individual. You know, like it was, oh yeah, the rabbit hole. Like again, you now know why. Like I'm just like, and I loved it, and to be. I mean, in a way, Brenda, I know this sounds weird to say, but
Probably not.
we are the pioneers of the future of the movement right now.
And that was something I was going to ask you is how, what do you see the spiritualist movement look like as we move into the future? You know?
Oh yeah, to be a good psychic
Loaded question.
see it, right? Yeah, I don't know. You know,
Yeah.
some of me feels that we need to kind of go back to the roots of it, right? The roots was that we weren't supposed to be this independent standalone religion to fight and compare with all other religions. We were supposed to be, an addition to, or the proof of continuity, right? Mm-hmm. And then part of me feels like we've really neglected the science in my mind. I mean, this, again, this is only my truth. This is nobody else's. This is just my opinion is, we look at some of the beginning of the movements and all of these societies or research, studies were starting. And I feel like we've moved more into less of the science, even though, like you said,
Students. That's where I start. That's where we start.
Yeah.
Albert Einstein and Nikola Tesla are my first slides and here we go. We're starting here. And people are like, why are we talking about this? I'm like, you will see.
Right. Yes, exactly. So I feel like, I feel like the thing is spiritualism itself, right? In its movement is never, it's energy. It can't be destroyed. It cannot be, die. It can't die. It will always continue. I think we need to start embracing the science, the philosophy, and religion, not as a ruled religion, but as more of like a way of life, a way of living. And we have to embrace all of that. We have to embrace our differences. Do you know, when you think about the history of spiritualism, and this is, I found in my missionary, like I found this so amazing, like you Camp Etna, which is in Maine, right? Which is another bigger independent spiritualist camp. Lilydale, ultimately, in my opinion, is the oldest, largest running. Like you look at Lilydale compared to the other camps and it's just different. It has more, a lot of the camps are just like one building and a church, or it's more like camping, or where Lilydale, we're a community. We really are in a year round community at that, where a lot of camps are just their little season and that's it. So, we have to, so Lilydale is kind of big, but Camp Etna and both Lilydale, we have thousands of people show up to listen to a lecture of the afterlife. Like Mary Vanderbilt was the Camp Etna medium, right? And she would go into these trance lectures, and it wasn't like, oh, is my grandpa there? It was like, this is what the other side is like, and this is what we have to do to grow or expand or become enlightened. And it was more of a,
existential conversation.
Yeah.
It was the top. It was the top of the funnel, not grandpa down here. It was the top of the funnel, right?
Oh, I love that, Brenda. Love that.
Yeah. I didn't invent it. Stacy. So you brought up the Morris Pratt Institute. So, that is a good place to start if you want to learn about history, correct?
Yes, absolutely. So it still is. So first, let me just give you again history. I hope everyone's like, Brenda, I hope they're still tuning in. Sometimes people talk history and they go, whoa.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think they're still there.
I think so.
It's recorded. They can always come back too.
There you go. So Morris Pratt was a man. That actually first originated in New York, right? And moved to Wisconsin. And it was in moving to Wisconsin that his mom actually was the one who introduced him to the home circles, to the seances. I mean, that's how the movement was, like you look back at that time, there weren't churches. I mean, there were churches that spiritualists were going to, but there weren't necessarily spiritualist churches because everything was done in the home circle. Everything that was done at home. You went to the medium's house, you sat in a circle, you heard from the other side, right? So somehow through his mother and through, I call her Medium Mary because I, for some reason, can't say her last name well. But anyways, you can find him on the website. I find her name on the website. Started going to the circles and started believing in and understanding the movement of spiritualism as his truth. And in one of the circles, he was given a message by the medium to invest in some property up north of Wisconsin, way up north of the northern part of Wisconsin. And that, you know, if he invested in that, it would be beneficial to him. So he said, all right, I'll invest in that. Because at this point, he was a farmer, but not, he was a smart business farmer. So he owned a lot of land with his brothers, and they would farm some of it and then lease it out. So he was, you know, an entrepreneur at heart. He mm-hmm. understood business. And he said that if this panned out, he would put forth money to create a school for the understanding of the science, philosophy, and religion of spiritualism. Now, this is back in what, like 18, I think Morris Pratt opened in 1899. So we're looking at 1890s. You're looking about, you know, 50 years after the movement.
30 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And sure enough, of course, what was given from spirit totally panned out. Like in today's market, it would have been like, what happened was, is the land that they purchased ended up having one of the largest ore mines in the Midwest. So if you can imagine, it's like, you know, finding the golden nugget, right? Like,
right.
Mm-hmm. So it definitely paid out, and he followed through with his promise. He followed through and he built in Whitewater, Wisconsin. So if you can imagine just for a minute, well, you know, if you're from Western New York, that's rural. That's rural, mm-hmm. right? Whitewater is the same thing. Rural, like, you know. So he invested and built this three-story Gothic Revival Institute. And it was actually called Pratt's Temple at first. It wasn't called the Morris Pratt Institute till later, mm-hmm. Where he brought in mediums from around the world, or, you know, around the U.S. to demonstrate mediumship. It also offered your general education. And then, like, so you get your GED or diploma, what would have been the equivalent of that time. And then it offered the secondary education, which would have been your clairvoyance, your, you know,
speaking,
you know, all of that. So, and it had dorms where people would come and stay.
Sounds like an American Arthur Findlay, doesn't it?
It absolutely was. In my opinion, it absolutely was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sadly, I think the timing was just off. So it opened in 1899. He did get to see some of the success. Like for some of you who know history, like Moses Hall and Maddie Hall, they came from Ohio because a school was trying to get off the ground down there on spiritualism, mm-hmm. but it didn't quite make it. So Morris Pratt, like, you know, brought in a bunch of different people. And that institute did really well until about the mid-30s, like through the Depression era, it had to close. You know, Morris Pratt passed to spirit in 1902, and he is the only, just a fun tidbit of information, because I also like cemeteries. I don't know if you like cemeteries.
There's a lot of information in there.
Yeah.
Nobody's so, there, but there's information. In there.
Exactly. To me, it's the most quietest place you can go, but it's like reading a history book, right? Mm-hmm. So his grave is the only grave I've seen so far, and I haven't seen all of our pioneers, that actually represents spiritualism, because it says scientific spiritualist on the top of his headstone.
Nice.
And, you know, again, 1902, he passed. So this headstone, you know, again, he was making sure to, for everyone to know who was going through the history books, right? Reading the cemeteries, that he was a spiritualist. So it's really cool. And they are, Morris Pratt is still in existence now. They offer correspondence courses, which I think is a great, like you said, foundation of the history of the spiritualist movement.
Yeah. I was on their website, and there's just courses and courses and courses. I mean, there's so many courses you can take.
Yeah.
And I didn't see anything where there was like, And I could be wrong. I could have missed it. Where you can do like groups, you know, like people get together and do group classes. But
I think they're starting that. So I actually became the administrator of Morris Pratt for about 4 or 5 years. And once I opened the coffee shop, I had to let go of that job because it's a full-time job, right?
So you're very familiar with the courses and the process and everything. So isn't that funny? No, it's not funny. It's just, right? And, you know, just to go back to something you said about it being in your backyard, I grew up in Sheridan, New York, which is about 20 minutes from Lilydale, okay? And I knew of it, but growing up in a Catholic family, we didn't talk about it, right? So here I am going through all my stuff, right? Come to find out my grandmother stayed there for a year, right? All this. And it's right in my backyard. right? Just like you. It was like it's
Yeah.
right in your backyard. And I just think it's just ironic how spirit works like that, right?
It is. It is.
And I just wanted to say one more thing too. It's like, you know, it's like every organization or community, they go through things, right? And they go through, you know, growing pains and labor pains and all this and different, you know, sicknesses and illnesses and things. But you know, when you come right down to it, if you just think about how special, you know, you had talked about how Lilydale is unique and it's in its structure and its community and in what it offers to the world. You know, we are just so fortunate. I mean, we are just so blessed to have, right, to have this place and to be able to be part of it and to be able to promote it and, you know, encourage others to come and see and experience Lilydale, just everything about it. And I just, you know, sometimes I have to, you know, remind myself that it really is extraordinary. You know, it's just so extraordinary. And so, you know, you talking about all these other camps and stuff in the United States, and it's just to be able to, it's almost like a spider web, right? It's like we have the, and it's all this spiritualists, you know, and it feels like, you know, if you want to go and discover some another different place, right? It's out there for us. It's not like we're just alone in one place, you know,
Yeah.
and so I'm done being all corny and funny here, but I
Listen,
just.
no, I love it. You're giving me goosebumps. You know, but that's the truth. Like, that's what I'm saying. Spiritualism will never die. It's an energetic energy that has its ups and its downs, and we're just threads in a blanket. You know, we're a thread in the tapestry of the movement of spiritualism. And thank God we do have all of these different places. Thank goodness that hopefully the energetic essence of that continues. And yes, we're going to have our ups and downs. Yes, we're going to have our disagreements. Yes. And you know what? Welcome that. Learn how to welcome that, you know, because if you read, like, again, back to history, if you read like convention minutes of some of these organizations that were trying to form in 1899, 1910, listen, they were all opinionated. Can you imagine the discussions that occurred in the Lilydale, in Lilydale's auditorium? The debates, you know what I mean? Like, and we're all concerned about our little, like, ooh, you know, no, feel the essence of it. Why do people say when they come through the gates, why is it when, you know, not just Lilydale's gates, but even other camps, one of the basic truths I hear, even if it's a church, I felt at home for the first time I felt, and that's you feeling the energy of spiritualism, not the leader, not the pastor, not the board. You're literally feeling the energy of spirit. And
I had someone say that to me this morning because I went for blood work, you know, and so the lady's talking to me. So what are you doing today? And you know, you go through that half a second where should I really tell her or should I just be generic, right? I thought, no, I'm going to really tell her. Well, I'm doing a radio show today. And she's like, oh, what kind? Well, when I tell her I'm a Lilydale medium and I'm doing a radio show, she goes, really? You know, and then of course the floodgates open, right? But one of the, there was another woman in there who was helping this trainee, right? Because the trainee was taking my blood and she did a very good job, by the way. The woman that's there, she says to the other woman, and I quote, you have to go if you've never been there. She says, when you walk through the gates, the feeling is just so wonderful and so serene and so peaceful. And I said, you're right. You're absolutely right. You know, it just happened this morning. So it's funny that you bring that up. No, it's not funny, right?
should have started a pool. How many times you're going to say that in this?
I know. But yeah. One of my dear friends, Sharon Hill, you know, registered meeting of Lilydale. We'd always say things like, oh, it's weird. She'd go, no, it's wonderful.
Ah,
You
see?
know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's true. It's true.
Yeah.
Ever since I found the movement, ever since I started on this journey, if you would, I always say to people, my favorite thing when somebody says, well, isn't this strange, weird, unusual, random? You're talking my language, right? Like, you're
Right.
talking my language, because I'm always like, well, what's going to happen next? Who knows, you know?
Exactly. I mean, and I think we have to be ready though. We have to be ready as spiritualists when the scientific edict comes down that yes, there is an afterlife, and
Yes.
yes, the end. We're like, hello, we've been here, we're ready to talk about it. You know, hey,
Yeah.
don't put a different label on it, don't call it something else now because you don't want to say it's spiritualism. You know what I'm saying? It's
Right.
like they'll come up with some other label as to what's going on. Like, no, we've been there, done that,
Yeah. Well,
right?
and I think too, that's even in my little short time of my journey. You know, like some people think I'm a newbie, like you said, but I've been a
No.
member of Lilydale Assembly for, I don't know, 13, 12, 13 years, been spiritualist for, oh, I don't know, 16, 18 years now, right? But I've always just ingested a lot, you know, just like I want to see, I want to know, I want to understand more and more. And even in that short period of time, I've already seen like Lilydale, some of the symposiums that they've been doing is like they are literally bringing, you know, it's not uncommon anymore to go into an art museum or go to a lecture or go to a college where they are talking about the continuity of life. Not in a woo-woo magical sense, but in a real sense. Like I said, we have to stop talking about things being paranormal or supernatural within our movement because it's just normal.
Right. It is normal.
You know, and
That's what I tell people will say as everybody has gifts. We call them gifts, but they're just our birthright, right? So yeah, it's like we are normal. This is normal. We've just decided to talk about it and pay attention to it, right? So yeah.
Absolutely.
I wanted to ask you another question. And now, oh, so sacred grounds, let's talk about that. I can't tell you, well, I think I already did, but I'm going to say it again. Oh, so many people were so happy that it was going to open and be there. I can't, the conversations and the friendships and things that have happened in that building and will continue to happen. It's a magical place. I know you said it's not magic, but sacred grounds is magic. So, let's talk, and you know what's interesting, I have to say, is that you have brought some live entertainment and events to Sacred Grounds, and it's just so refreshing, you know. So I just so what does the future look like for Sacred Grounds?
So I first just want to say thank you for everything you just said, because what I love most about it is there was never a mention of coffee. And let me explain, but let me explain. You know, of course there was a series of events that had to have occurred for this to happen, right? Like, and a lot of it is based on my journey in spiritualism, right? Because if I wouldn't have found Lilydale, and if I wouldn't have decided to label myself a spiritualist and become a minister and you know, be excited about the movement and the history of spiritualism, none of this would have occurred. None of this, opening this coffee shop would not have occurred. And it all started with a conversation with my partner Michelle and my dear friend Deb, like just saying, you know, wouldn't it be fun to open the coffee house back up? And it was not because I liked coffee. It was because I loved community. I loved to create an energetic space where people could come together and feel heard, seen, loved, and free to talk about their truths and for people to hear it and either agree or disagree, but do it in a healthy, wonderful community way. So I love, love, love that everything you said about Sacred Grounds for this first year is exactly what I was hoping to. Again, the coffee's good. I'm not going to
Oh
say
yeah.
I
Oh,
love our coffee,
that's a benefit. That's a bonus.
but that was the least of what we were trying to create. We were just trying to create a mini community in the community where people could congregate on the porch or sit at a
Oh
table.
yeah, that porch. It's iconic. That porch. It's like the debates that have happened on that porch and the review of the classes that have happened on that porch. I mean,
And
oh.
the meetings, like who knows what's going to happen? You know, like I said, you know, you never know. I mean, if we could only get a look into how many lives Lilydale has changed in no matter what way it changed its life, right? Like the healing that we see. I mean, aren't we honored? I mean, you as a registered medium, Oh, like the healing that you give, that you see, that you witness, that the new perspective of thought that people leave, even the healthiest of skeptic to the complete believer, and even the people who still don't believe after coming cannot unwitness what they experienced,
It's true.
right?
It's such a privilege. It is such a privilege to be able to do this work. If I talk about it, I'm going to cry on my own radio show. So let's not.
Okay. No crying. But yeah, like they said in League of Their Own, there's no crying in baseball. There's no crying in spiritualism. Oh gosh.
That's right.
We
Yeah.
don't
No,
cry.
there's lots. I have tissues in my reading room.
I was gonna
There's
say,
lots of
we
crying.
don't, I always say we don't cry. Our heart fills with so much love that our eyes leak. That's what I
That's
always say.
true.
So
That's true. Yes, it
we
is
don't
so
cry.
true.
But yeah,
Yeah.
so it has been a loving and loveless sometimes experience.
Well, you're dealing with the public, so
Well, or just dealing with our own physical limitations. I have not
right.
worked that hard in
Oh, yeah,
many
I can't.
years.
Yeah.
But it was everything I wanted it to be, and then some, and I'm so excited for next year and the year after that and the year after that, just to see what that space will be for so many. So I,
You
love
heard it here,
it.
folks. You heard it here first. We're guaranteed next year. Woo-hoo.
Yes, absolutely. And that's what I have to say. The only way we're ever going to expand our awareness, right, is through knowledge. The only way that we can accumulate knowledge is by creating a space to learn, or creating diversity in our lives, going to things. So having the coffee house is giving me a place and giving Michelle and I a place to create that. Like, we love having the authors come in, or the singers come in, or who knows what next year is going to bring. Artists, like, I'm a huge art person. So we're going to be bringing artists in. There's going to be live art happening, just different things to just kind of help expand, our awareness, expand our perspectives, So I'm always, and I love that I can create that space, right? I can feed it by giving it some good bakery, or whatever
Oh
our
gosh.
chef Pat comes up with. He's amazing, right?
And gluten-free items. I can't tell you. It's like they're not calorie-free, folks, but they're gluten-free and they're so yummy. 'Cause I go in there, I'm like, yay, there's gluten-free. Yeah. Makes it easier to try to stay, on the gluten-free way.
Yeah,
So
exactly. So
yeah.
yeah, I'm just blessed, really. I mean, we were blessed. It was so well received by the community, and well received by everyone that came in. And I'm a little lucky, and I don't know if I want to use the word luck, because I believe that it's all part of the natural and spiritual laws. But I got to witness so many people in their joy, in their love, in their healing, by being at the register. I got to see all the people. This is my first time here. This is our 32nd time here. This is where we come for our sister's retreat. This is this. This is that. And I literally get to sit in the vibration of happiness every day, every hour, because it's what the people that are coming through the doors are bringing with them. And even if they're bringing the heartache of loss, they're bringing the energy of hope, because they went and saw a medium and were reconnected with their loved ones. So even in that, in what some people might call, sad emotions, or lower vibrational, no, I got to witness all the other highs,
It's comfort. It's there's so much comfort in what we do. You know, it's and being able to tell your client or someone, this evidence that they're giving you shows you they're still involved in your life. I can't tell you how many times I said that this summer. They still know what's going on with you. They're still involved with your life. Let's talk to them. Keep them involved. It's just like I said, it's a super privilege. And so Stacy, do you have any last words before we conclude our interview
I
today?
can't even believe that the time is up already.
I know. Maybe we'll have to do this again. Like me, like getting close to opening. That's what we'll do. Like
There you go.
a few weeks before opening, right? We'll do this again and you can tell us or even sooner, you can tell us all the good things coming down the pike for Sacred Grounds and any other wonderful things you want to share.
Yeah,
so
absolutely. I think that the one thing that I think Sacred Grounds has, not just Sacred Grounds, but spiritualism and getting to meet you, like getting to meet all the people, like getting to meet spiritualism's breath, the living and breathing people who are making spiritualism continue forward, gives me that great pleasure and that excitement and that hope and that love that, you know, we're not separate from, but we're literally all together, you know, regardless of our differences, regardless of our opinions and our perspectives and even spirit. We know this, right? We know, like you just said, our loved ones are well aware of what's going on. And then when we can feel the energy of love in Lilydale, we can realize even through our differences, even through our fighting and our opinions,
just like a family,
one, you know, and that's, right. That's what I say. Like, I hope whatever, who's ever listening to this, regardless if you label yourself a spiritualist, if you've been to Lilydale, haven't been to Lilydale, whatever, that you find whatever it is that makes you feel the oneness, because that's amazing when you can experience that.
So just to conclude, how long are you going to be open this fall season?
So right now we're still open Saturdays and Sundays, and that'll be through the end of October. So sadly, we're coming back the first week in November to button it up, like wrap up our porch for the winter. So, you know,
we're grateful. We're grateful for September and October. We're grateful for that. We appreciate
And we will open Memorial Day weekend, and we'll be open every weekend until season, where we'll still be open 7 days a week next year. So,
And you know, and there's still many mediums that are still working.
Yes.
People can still come and get a reading in Lilydale. The colors are beautiful and are going to continue to be beautiful. The Healing Temple is still open on 7 o'clock on Wednesday for their services. And just so you know, the program committee is busy working on next year's lineup and bringing in the best talent and educators and spiritualists that there is. So Lilydale is alive. Lilydale is alive, right?
Way alive.
Lilydale is alive. And that's something we have to remember, right? It's alive.
Absolutely.
So thank you, Stacey Sherman. And we're going to end our episode here of Discover
Brenda.
Your Spirit on Lilydale Blog Talk Radio. Thank you. I'm sure I'll see you around.
Yes, you will.
All right.